following program is brought to you in living color on
ABN.
This is Techies, brought to you by the ACPN.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Techies, the podcast where we talk all about technological stuff. I'm John Galbo, joined with a couple of guests. Well, not so much guests. One of them is a guest and one of them is not. You might remember him.
Hi. Should I say hi?
Yeah.
What's up? It's Lou. How you doing?
Hi, Lou.
Hi.
And our guest?
I'm Eric Tinker.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
So we're here to talk about technology. I know a lot has happened since the last episode we had. Actually, I think there's one still in the can as we speak. But we could put that one out.
No one needs to know that.
Or maybe we did. Maybe we didn't. But a lot has happened. I guess the main thing that sticks out in my head is Apple came out with a new iPhone.
Yeah, that's been the big news, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I tried to upgrade to iOS 8, and then they actually pulled the upgrade right before. While I was trying to upgrade, they actually pulled the upgrade. So that was interesting.
Oh, what was that? iOS 8.01?
That's exactly right. 8.0.1. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one they had problem. Apparently, people were having problems with it, and other people were like, "No, don't download it because it's." I think some people like lost their actual cellular signal.
Yeah.
So then they quickly came out with 8.02, which I think is that's the current one.
Yeah. Yeah. Currently 8.02. It's true.
It's a lot of. A lot of neat things they've added to it. I like the different, like, handicap kind of stuff.
Mm. I really like the camera stuff, the new options available in the camera. It's all pretty cool. I was playing with that a little bit recently, and I like that. I haven't upgraded my phone yet because I'm still doing a study right now on taking photos for medical slides. But I will be upgrading my phone soon, and I'm looking forward to seeing the changes they made to the iOS on the phone.
Right.
How about you, Eric? Have you upgraded yet?
I don't. I use Android phones, but one of my developers had got one, and the screen is gorgeous. And we played around with the bendability of it a little bit just to see whether or not it bent as easily as it does, and I think you have to do something pretty extreme to bend it. But it was pretty nice what I saw of it.
Yeah, I'm thinking that.
Whoa.
Echo. No, I'm thinking that you probably have to like sit on the damn thing to bend it.
More than that.
Yeah, I think we lost you a little bit, Eric. You've gone down in volume a tiny bit.
Oh yeah, is this better?
Yes.
Much better. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying you'd have to do more than sit on it to bend it. It's pretty sturdy. I don't know what like kind of vice they put their phone in to bend it for that blog post that was going around.
They probably bent it on purpose or used some kind of like MythBuster technology.
Yeah, right.
It's like one day I was watching a video on YouTube of people dropping an iPad, and it was like, oh, we dropped this from like 5 inches. No, we dropped it from 50 feet.
Yeah.
50 feet's a bit extreme. I don't think your iPad's expected to last at dropping from 50 feet in the air.
Yeah, no, but I think the whole like front of it came off, if memory serves. It was pretty brutal.
But I tell you, I've got currently. I'm using an Air, and the Air is by far the best computer I've ever had in terms of like durability. Because I dropped it down a flight of concrete stairs, and it bounced off all the stairs, and it left it with two dents in it. But other than that, I picked it up and it turned on, and it's never given me a hard time since. So I have to say, like, I got a solid state drive in there too. So it's just like it's a massive machine. I love it.
Yeah, I can relate. I mean, I don't have a Air. I have the iPad 3, and I've dropped that a bunch of times, and it's pretty impervious. I mean, I'm not about to drop it 50 feet, but I mean, obviously, from a couple of inches, it's not going to make a difference.
No.
The other thing
My kids have an iPad, and it survives them pretty well. The only thing that my son did that destroyed it was take one of them into a bathtub. We had to replace it.
Yeah, I was going to say they make them to last, but unfortunately not in the water. I lost iPhone that way.
So yeah, totally.
Not fun. But also on top of the iPhone, they announced that they're coming out with the iWatch or Apple Watch. I think that's a pretty cool concept.
Definitely, definitely. I'm very interested in wearable technology, though I don't. Because I don't have Apple products, I'm not using the Apple Watch, so I don't really know everything that it does.
Now, Eric, you have an Android. Have you tried the watch for that?
No, I haven't. I don't really have much need for it. I'm a lot more interested in a lot of the wearable stuff that isn't facing consumer product stuff right now. You know, stuff that tells you about what you're doing, what's going on, like. In your environment and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. More like a Fitbit kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been thinking a lot these days about sort of how to gather all this information easily. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you realize you go home and you have wearables on, and as we move forward into the future, we're going to have more smart technology in homes in terms of like smart refrigerators, whatever, smart stoves. Like already we have thermostats that are smart.
Oh, yeah.
But like, how do you get all this stuff to talk together? I think that's the problem that hasn't been solved yet. You know, I think that's the interesting thing about it. And I have been spending a lot of time thinking about ways to get everything to talk together and I think there is a way.
I'm sure there's a way. Someone will bound to come up with the technology. The thing that amazes me is, what was it, in like the mid to late 90s, Bill Gates came out with a book, The Road Home.
Okay.
And I didn't get to read the book because I'm really lazy when it comes to reading books. But I remember it came with a DVD, and not even a DVD, I think like a regular CD. And it was interesting because everything that we have now, he had in the video on the CD. It was like they were showing off iPads. They were showing off kind of like DVR systems where everything was stored on a computer rather than a disc.
Mm.
It was remarkable.
Yeah, there's been a real big change in DVRs recently. You know, because I do a lot of work with Virgin Media and. Right. I tell you, they've just unleashed their new TiVo boxes out in the UK.
Oh, really?
And they've done away with personal DVRs now.
Huh.
It's actually, you set up a recording, and then it's recorded on the server side. So they're running a 30-day recording session.
Oh, so it's more cloud-based.
It's more cloud-based now, yeah.
That's interesting.
Which is cool, because that's eliminating a bit of the size from your DVR, getting rid of that hard drive that's in your house.
Right. And I really hope they kind of come up with that, too, because, I mean, I'm on Optimum, and the DVR is terrible.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's the only company that right now that's actually doing that. I don't know what TiVo here is doing in the U.S. I don't do much with TiVo in the U.S., but I know that as far as I know, the only company doing that right now is Virgin Media in the U.K., and it's pretty... It just happened like about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, I'm sure in the next couple of years they'll probably port it over to the States.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. So, should we talk about Pluto a little bit? Just a little brief Pluto summary?
Pluto's a planet again.
Isn't that awesome? Were you guys bummed out? I was bummed out that it was 8 planets in the solar system.
Yeah, just, fortunately,
I never had to accept it.
Yeah. You just denied it. You were a Pluto non-planet denier.
Exactly.
I don't know. All these years they've been telling us, well, Pluto's a planet, and this one's a planet, and that one's a planet. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, no, Pluto's not a planet anymore. It's like, what?
Blew my mind.
Well, it's a planet again, so that's settled as far as I'm concerned.
That's good.
But who really has the authority to say that it's not a planet, it is a planet? It seems to be a bit willy-nilly, you know? It doesn't seem to be, like, too closely guarded.
That's true. I mean, like the White House these days.
True that.
Yeah, right? I think it's a consensus thing. Like, enough people in the club go one way, then that's what they say is the official thing.
So it's basically like little kids in a treehouse. Pluto, right. We all got together and took a vote. You're not a planet anymore.
So mean.
Exactly. But now they're like they've split into factions of just 4 and 4. So they need a spoiler. So they're calling in Pluto again.
Yeah. What do you mean 4 and 4? Like the 4 inner planets and the 4 outer planets?
Right. Like 8. You know, there's 8 people in the treehouse, and they couldn't. Get a vote together, you know?
Yeah. Undecided.
Anyway.
And I think, aren't they sending like a camera of some kind to Pluto now?
Well, I mean, they have in the past. I don't know if they're sending one specifically to study Pluto, but they have sent cameras past Pluto in recent history. But maybe they're going to study it more. I don't really know. Do any of you guys know or anything more about that?
I thought I'd read something on it.
I don't know. It's interesting thought. I have been following the satellite that they've sent to the comet. That was interesting. And then they've also sent a new one to Mars recently from India, which was a pretty cool little project of themselves. I think it was $74 million was the price tag on that, which was pretty small.
Yeah, definitely. The Pluto mission is called New Horizons. The spacecraft. It's already crossing Neptune's orbit right now.
Oh,
Just look up on NASA.gov.
Yeah. New Horizons to take Pluto and Charon.
Is it going to be mapping Pluto, or is it just going to be blowing past it? I'm curious.
Guess I'd have to read the article.
Sorry for off-topic questions.
And doing research while podcasting—that's always fun.
No, you've got to cut that second out there. Yeah, man. But have you guys been following this probe, the new satellite that the Indian government has launched at Mars?
I heard about that. It's pretty interesting.
It's got a Twitter page that you can follow on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it goes by MOM, apparently. That's the name of the satellite, which is pretty interesting.
So what is it, just twitter.com/mom? Or?
Oh, no, I don't think it's twitter.com/mom. I have to look it up myself. I should have had that information in front of me. Satellite. I can't even spell satellite. S-T-Light. Yeah, there we go. Twitter.
Yeah, it's definitely not M-O-M.
Okay.
It's a really great photo.
It's not.
The photos are amazing.
Definitely not Mom Big Booty.
No, it's just at Mars Orbiter feed. Or at Mars Orbiter. That's just it. At Mars Orbiter.
Oh, I see it. ISRO is Mars Orbiter.
Yep, that's it.
And his first mission to Mars orbiting the red planet since September 24th. Huh.
So as you can see, they've sent back 3D images so far.
Wow.
And I think they're still getting everything sort of set up there, but it's really cool, man. I mean – It's just proof that you can send things out into space for less than $1 billion, or you know.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to do that we were talking about crowdfunding at one point was launching a satellite, because you can. I called up SpaceX and asked them about how much it would be, and for one CubeSat, it's, you know, probably about $500,000. So if you wanted to launch like a solar kite that just gets pushed by the solar winds out into space, you could do it for $500,000.
But I bet you can get a satellite for cheaper than that, because I remember reading in the past that there were groups of people that are actually trying to work with these older satellites that have already been decommissioned, because there's still a lot of space junk floating up there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, true. And you could.
There was those guys that were taking over a McDonald's somewhere in California to get control of one of these old NASA satellites, and had managed to turn it back on, and now we're running civilian missions. I think that was kickstarted as well. But
oh wow,
yeah, I saw that.
Now, what is NASA's maiden mission? Is that the same thing?
NASA's maiden mission?
MAVEN mission. I see. I just started following the Mars orbiter. Mm-hmm. And it said you might want to follow these. It says NASA's MAVEN mission at MAVEN number 2 Mars. NASA mission to explore Mars's climate history through its upper atmosphere, orbiting the red planet since September 21st.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, if I might be wrong, but as I remember it, that when they sent the rover to Mars, they sent two spacecraft, one that sends information back and one that was the rover that they sent back to Earth.
Hmm.
But I think they might have actually sent another satellite there.
Yeah, it just got there on September 21st.
Okay.
Hmm.
Huh, interesting. So everyone's sending extra satellites to Mars now.
Oh, I see. NASA and ISRO exploring coordinated observations and science analysis.
Huh. Did not know about that.
Interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? You think we're in our lifetime we're gonna see people on Mars?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know. I mean, definitely like to see something along the lines of Total Recall.
I mean, part of the issue is with all the new technology, like 3D printers and all that kind of stuff that can just build automated. Why not send a robot factory to Mars and just start doing all the science and all the other stuff that you want to do? Because what's the economic play? Like, how do you justify sending people, like, you know, a multi-billion-dollar life support system and all that kind of stuff? What does it gain anyone that you can't get with a robot picking up rocks and building stuff?
That's interesting. It seemed to be the one with the most traction seemed to be the people that were actually sending people for a reality TV show on Mars. That seemed to have the most traction of any Mars mission so far.
I think in the social media engagement, yes. But I know some people who have been involved in that, and they say it's a total cluster.
Yeah.
That it's not actually real. Like, there's no reality in it, but they're still hyping it and still trying to get people and money.
So it's strictly a PR move, you're saying?
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the best article I read, and I think you read this article as well, Eric, was the one that was talking about how in order to build a colony on Mars, they would have to have a certain number of people. I think it was 20,000 or something like that. It was a pretty large number of people that needed to be there for genetic diversity and to prevent an outbreak of a plague on Mars that would just kill everybody off. So it seems to me that the first step would be probably having to build a spaceship that would be able to fly there with a large group of people, 800 or so people. Which we're way far away from something like that happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it all depends, because some of that stuff, when it goes fast. You know, just like think about I was born in 1977, and that's basically when the PC started coming on the scene. Now look where we're at. You know, the first computers I had when I was a kid are, you know, thousands or even maybe even millions of times less powerful than the phone I have in my pocket. So once it goes, it's going to go fast.
Well, I agree with you, but I think one of the things holding us back from doing something like that is just simply the fact that where would the resources come from to build a spacecraft like that? I mean, with our governments deciding to spend more money fighting each other than actually exploring outer space or doing something productive, I don't see that we have the resources here on Earth to actually build something of that scale.
But, well, I think it's a matter of costs coming down more than anything, because like when costs come down, they're gonna create whole industries, and then those industries will have different incentives than the industries that we have now. It's because, you know, as you go through different scales, all technology is basically the same principles from one end to the other, but its complexity is when you're allowed, when you can be more precise and have much smaller structures allow you to build much bigger structures. So I think there'll be a critical mass at some point where a lot of the barriers to it now won't be barriers anymore.
Mm. Well, there's also the problem of escaping the Earth's gravitational field. The gravity is much, much stronger on Earth than it is on the moon. So, I mean, I think if we were going to go to Mars, we'd have to build a staging area on the moon to send people from there instead of sending people directly from Earth, you know?
That's true. There's this guy, Michael Lane, who runs a company called Liftport. They want to build a space elevator on the moon.
Yeah, but we've heard the talk about the space elevator for a while now. But it doesn't seem to ever actually materialize. So once again, it's like one of those things, you know?
Well, they're probably trying to figure out portal technology, too. If only.
Yeah. They just made a documentary for the Discovery Channel about it. So who knows? He's still plugging at it.
Yeah, it's interesting that if that's your lifetime work to like build a space elevator, you know, you could probably spend your whole life and just make some progress, but never even actually realize your dream. And that's gotta be tough in some ways.
Oh yeah, no doubt. But at the same time, maybe it's a grand adventure, and that's enough. You know.
Yeah.
Get your ass to Mars.
What was that?
Arnold.
Get your ass to Mars.
Get your ass to Mars.
Yeah,
classic. Exactly.
Give these people air.
I mean, while we're on the topic of Total Recall, we might as well mention, this is a very non-techie, but like this woman who purported the fact that she had three breasts.
Oh, God.
To resemble the Total Recall girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, according to her, it was to make herself look less attractive.
Mm.
But apparently that was all a hoax.
I thought it was to get a job on MTV.
Oh, yeah, and that too.
Yeah, I think you posted the article, John, that revealed the hoax when they said that she got stopped at the airport. And
yeah,
TMZ
found the – yeah, because TMZ finds everything. They found the police report she filed where she lost her luggage at the airport.
Lost her prosthetic.
her three-breasted prosthetic.
That's funny. I didn't know about that part.
Yeah, that was what came out. That's how we knew it was a big hoax. Anyway, well, one thing that has been in the news recently, which is really cool, is we've all seen movies like Alien, you know, Aliens, when Ripley fights the Queen Alien using the exosuit.
Right.
Really interesting is like in the last few weeks, there's been a lot of exosuit videos, and it started off with this video that came out of Russia, which showed this exosuit, and it was like very slow moving, but you could see like someone that was paralyzed get into the exosuit and then move across the ground, and it looked really cool. And then literally like a week later, this video comes out of Japan showing exosuits in Japan, and it just blew my mind. It was amazing how good these suits are.
Huh.
Yeah. They're cool.
I mean, from the fact that the motion was really fluid, and we'll post the link on the website or the page, so you guys could check it out. But the motion is really fluid, and the whole purpose of it is they're building it so that people can, so besides rehabbing and being able to walk, they're actually building it so it could support like a great deal of weight, so you could lift a patient out of bed very easily, or you could move a box really easily. And they show all these in the video, all these use cases, and it was phenomenal, man. Like, that's, I was pretty cool. My mind was blown.
It's like they're coming closer to, like, you know, where science fiction meets science fact.
Exactly.
Like all the Iron Man and, like you said, like aliens.
Yeah, we're really close to that moment. Yeah.
Go ahead,
Eric. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
They had a really poorly constructed but primitive exosuit at South by Southwest this year. Oh. Some guys just DIY'd it. They were like from Singapore or something, and they brought it out. So I sort of felt like that was a milestone. You know, even though it wasn't very impressive, they had power armor at South by Southwest.
You know what I keep thinking I'd like to see is like a way they can like mass produce like robot suits. And just instead of sending like our troops to Iraq and Afghanistan, just like load up like software, like a Call of Duty type program where like you can go and run the suits that are like deployed overseas.
I think we're not very far away from that. I mean, we're using drones to fight most of our battles.
I was just gonna say we have drones now. So, and side note to that. Apparently, Hollywood directors now got approval to use drones in movies.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Blame Michael Bay.
that's definitely probably the guy. I mean, I could see Michael Bay using that, and Cameron too. I could see Cameron being a fan of drones in his movies.
Yeah,
James Cameron will take it to another level.
He definitely would.
I just know Michael Bay, you know, every time he makes a Transformers movie, or did in the past, I don't think he's making the next one, but he would call up, like, the Air Force and the Army and be like, can I have a helicopter or two?
Yeah, there's only certain directors with that kind of pull. Like, him, Ridley Scott could do that, I think, you know, call up the Army and be like, I need some helicopters. I could see guys like, what's his name, Coppola. Coppola probably had that kind of pull, you know.
Well, Bay especially, he's known for his unique pull because of Pearl Harbor. Like, they love Pearl Harbor, Pentagon so much that they just, he's like, I need 8 F-18s. Okay, no problem.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Right.
Cool. So, yeah, man. Let's see what else we got to talk about. I don't really have too much to say about 3D printers right now. I mean, it's interesting. The guys that sit across from me in the office space are the guys that made the Bot Factory, which they're doing 3D printing of circuit boards, which is really, really cool stuff. They've come a long way over the last few months. It's actually looking really nice now. And they've gone to Italy this week. They did a successful Kickstarter. I think they raised about 100K on Kickstarter. So, yeah, man, that's pretty cool.
Did you see that that young boy that they put the arm on?
No, I mean, I've seen a few different arms. Was it a very, very inexpensive arm?
Yeah, it was inexpensive. Yeah, it was like the first like inexpensive arm. It didn't cost like thousands of dollars. And he has like full mobility of it.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty
cool. Maybe not the same thing you're talking about. Totally. It definitely is. Like the thing saying like $50 worth of materials to do the same thing as like a $20,000 prosthetic.
It's amazing.
Yeah, totally. Really is.
It makes me really happy as well, because I feel a lot of the times medicine has gotten out of hand in terms of its pricing and a lot of things
you
pay for. It's just ridiculous, you know? So whenever you see something that just says that you don't need to buy into this going broke to, like, you know, fix this problem, you could just get it done with simple parts or go down to your local store and just have an arm printed up for you. Right. I mean, that's us taking the power back in a lot of ways, or the people, like, having the control again, you know?
Right.
That's like those guys in, like, at Occupy Central in Hong Kong. they have the wireless mesh network system that they're using, that so that the phones connect peer to peer and can route you to other phones peer to peer for the chat, like to send the chat, so you don't need to connect to the internet. Developer friend of mine got it into it and like messed around with it and said it doesn't work all that great, but once they get the kinks out of it, that stuff's gonna be pretty amazing.
And that's really great, because I mean, if you read any of the articles about the things they're putting, the kill switches they're putting in phones now, I mean, they're purposely building your phones so they could disable them from connecting to the internet. Huh. So, I mean, the only way we're going to be able to communicate if something like that was to happen here in America would be on a peer-to-peer network. And it's really good to see the people using that right now in Hong Kong.
Absolutely. I've been looking at a lot of microcontroller kind of stuff, like chips. And I have an appointment with those Bot Factory guys on October 15th. And we're looking at, like, you know, how to use this stuff to make stuff really cheap. And Texas Instruments tells tons of these things, and it's like a quarter, you know, for a microcontroller, or like a dollar for the radio transmitter and stuff like that. So being able to, like, build your phone, rebuild your phone, or build a complete phone, all that stuff is going to be totally possible in the next couple of years.
Yeah, man. I was talking to them as well about those guys are really good engineers. They're really good. And I'm building another piece of technology besides the TV remote. But I'm also working on something for medical imaging right now. And we've almost perfected the manual version, where we do everything by hand and we do the stitching based on an algorithm inside an off-the-shelf program. But what we're really looking for in the future is we're currently building our own sort of stitching program. And what we're looking at next is robotic control and remote control of the slide bed with a small servo. And we want to bring the cost down to, you know, and I was talking to those guys, and I was like, I'd like to get the cost of the servo to like less than $1,000. And they were like, dude, that's no problem. That's super easy. So, I mean, what we're looking at there is if we can get that cost down that low, we're looking at something that we could retail for maybe, you know, $1,200, $1,500. That's replacing a machine that's $40,000 to $120,000, you know?
Yeah.
So that'd be cool. Crazy. Yeah.
I guess as the technology progresses, it's going to get cheaper.
Definitely, definitely. There's one of the things that I'm really excited about. Like we're trying to make a gardening life support systems kind of thing, and the peripheral sensors, like if you can get the power low enough, you can actually have it just pull power from ambient energy, like radio waves and heat and, you know, photovoltaic, obviously. But, you know, like a lot of that stuff doesn't, like people like to, they like to pack in the really like high energy cost stuff, like Wi-Fi transmitters, but you don't need Wi-Fi necessarily to transmit information. If it's very simple information, it doesn't have to even go very far depending on what your use case is. Right. So you can potentially have it so that each one of your little devices is generating enough power for itself.
Yeah, man, that's a really, really good thing to happen. And I think what you're doing is really cool as well. And I think it's going to be really impactful in the future once you can get those things created as your vision, as you explained your vision to me before. It sounds really good. I'm big into alternative energy sources as well. And like I think, you know, one of the things I'm always following on the internet is I'm always really staying up to date with sort of what's going on with people building solar energy sources on their home, and sort of interaction with the established grid right now, the grid system we have in America. Because I think we're hitting a crossroads right now where it's become so cheap to build solar, and storage technology has gotten so much better that we're actually looking at a point where it's actually feasible for a lot of people, even in non-sunny areas. And I read an article recently out of Germany saying that, you know, Germany is not a very sunny place. But what they were saying was that they've proven that even in a non-sunny place, you can provide 60% of your power through solar energy, which I find to be absolutely amazing, you know?
Right.
And I really like to see that happen here in America. And, you know, I always get bummed out because when I see like power companies challenging people that are trying to establish, you know, solar energy by charging them service charges and surcharges and even charges to sell their own power back to the grid.
I've been, like I told you, I've been studying a lot of energy because in our consulting practice, we're also doing maintenance cycle analysis for coal plants. We're doing life cycle analysis for consumer products, and we've got a biofuels client. So I've been very much like, okay, I want to see what's really going on in energy. Why are energy markets like this? Why do they do all these kind of things? And the one term that I would really like everybody who's interested in energy to learn is demand response. Because it's demand response that is the thing that holds back everything. Because the grid has to have a certain amount of energy flowing through it at any given time. It has to. They've got the investment in the grid, so it's still expensive to maintain and run. So if half the country goes to solar, the other half of the country has to pay twice as much for electricity. So balancing that is very difficult without, you know, like, all the, you know, in this one county, all these wealthy upper middle class people put solar panels on their roof, detached from the grid, and now people in the poorer areas can't afford electricity. You know, so it's not that simple. Like, there are places in Germany where the cost of power jumped by like four times for people that weren't putting solar panels on the roof.
Interesting. Do you think that? Oh, I'm sorry for the feedback. Yeah. Do you think that with that scenario, if people were selling their own power back to the grid, if people who had runoff from their own solar power were putting energy back into the grid, would that stabilize the grid in that sort of scenario?
Well, they still need money to operate it, to maintain it, all that kind of stuff. Like in New York, if you did it, it would cost you about $18 a month to just for your grid maintenance fee, which to me is not that big of a deal, because what you get out of it is you can get your electricity in the nighttime from the grid and sell energy back to the grid during the daytime, which is also peak energy time, because that's prime business time. So you're giving energy to the grid when it needs it the most, and taking energy back out of it when the prices are lower and they don't need it as much.
Right.
So having that surcharge for paying for the grid for the demand response is not, it's not that horrible in my opinion.
I would agree with you in some ways, but at the same time, I think that the power companies and the energy companies, suppliers, are definitely looking to change their business model in a lot of ways. And a lot of it has been, their business model has been focused on selling you energy. And as that becomes an inefficient business model, or a business model that's not producing the same amount of returns, then they're going to increase surcharges. I mean, that's just strictly for a profit reason, not for a demand reason. They're looking to maintain their profits as companies. That's one of my big concerns as like someone looking at that situation, is that surcharges will become just another way of charging you, where they're trying to make up the money that's being lost by not providing you with energy.
Well, they're legally mandated to provide a certain amount of energy. That's the issue. So they have to, because it's the law, because the government wants to have it's like reserve energy, like, you know, the oil reserves, that kind of thing. They want to make sure that a certain amount of energy is available. So that's for them, that's a harder thing. And then there's also the fact that in the energy market, the supplier, the power plant, is not the same necessarily. The people running the power plant is not necessarily the same company that runs the grid, and there's also a commodities market where people are buying and selling electricity which is not very storable, so it's not like other commodities that you can store it and use it later. So there's a live constant energy commodity market where people are buying and selling the energy, so that energy is owned by yet third parties.
Right.
So it's very complex.
I agree with you. Whoa, sorry about that. Who's feeding back? Is that me feeding back like that? I've got my headphones in, so I can't be feeding back. It must be one of the...
I don't know. I have headphones in, too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have headphones in, so maybe it's me.
Yeah, that's probably the cause, but I don't know.
Technology.
Technology. Anyway, let's drop this topic, or else we could talk about it for a long time, and it's just going to go around in circles. And whatever. Anyway, what else we got to talk about today?
I don't know.
Oh, let's talk about apps we like. New apps. Does everybody have an app that they like?
You know? You know what? I really like, my girlfriend turned me on to it. It's called Waze. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No, what does it do?
It's basically a GPS system. It's like, you know, it's just like Google Maps or Apple Maps, where you can put in a location, and basically it's kind of a smarter technology. It's one of those where it shows you, like, it'll like switch halfway through if it notices like there's a backup somewhere or a traffic jam.
Okay.
And it also, you can like friend people on it, kind of like Facebook. So like if my girlfriend's driving, I can see like her location. She could actually send me like where she's going. Like if she's coming to see me, she could like punch in, sent to John, and it'll send me, her, like basically her coordinates.
Okay. Like, gotcha.
How long it'll take her to get here, when she gets here. And also the other thing that's cool is you can actually mark off if there's like a backup or construction or police in the area. And when you reach a certain area, it'll warn you. It'll be like, hey, there's a policeman up the block.
Cool. I dig that, man. That's really cool.
Yeah. I really like it. Cool. Plus, they just added Terry Crews as a voice, the comedian.
Old Spice? What was Terry Crews did Old Spice?
He did it online, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was good at that.
Yeah. Power. Now he's the host of Millionaire.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's cool.
He's pretty good.
I've got a few apps that I like right now that I think are really fun. Mm-hmm. One is, this one's just really silly. It's called Based Moji. Like, so you guys heard of Base God? It's like a rapper of sorts.
I think so.
He's very famous. The name. Very famous on the internet. And like, you know, the catchphrase is like, he's got a few. He's got stay in school. And then he's got the traditional thank you, Base God. And then he's got this rare collectible. Anyway, he's put out an app that's just emojis, and they're just called Based Mojis.
Oh my god!
So if you're bored of your emojis and you want some new emojis, Base Moji is the one to go with. It gives you like at least 20, 30 new emojis that are all Base God oriented and just really silly. Yeah, and that's BASEDMOJI, Based Emoji.
Based. There it is.
So it's fun. There's a couple of fun ones in there, just some good stuff. I don't know. It's silly. I enjoy sending little Base Emoji text. You know.
Cool. KOOL.
Now, another app I've really been liking is, I downloaded Marvel's app recently to check out.
The comic book one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's awesome, man. Like, they have like these Infinity comics. I don't know if you've seen those, like Deathpool, for instance. Deadpool.
I think so.
So he had like a whole comic where like the comic was actually, it was almost animated, but not really. Like,
oh, wow.
Each panel came up, and I was using it on my iPad, and it just looked so good. It was like finally for me something that was worth it for like buying a comic book online. It looked cool instead of just downloading them. And I really recommend it. It's really good. It's like it moves frame by frame, and like it's super cool. Super cool, man.
Yeah.
And then one more is like Duolingo is like the learn a language app. And I don't know if you guys like want to learn another language. It's really fun. Like you get to pick yourself a little goal of how much you want to learn each day, and then you just basically do certain exercises. So they have lessons where they teach you like different words. So it, for instance, it's like select the boy, and then it says like El Nino, La Nina, La Manzana, El Pan. So it's like, you know, you get to go through easily and sort of learn words.
Oh, nice.
It tries to teach another language in a very easy way, and very fun. It's almost like a game. So if you guys want to try to learn another language, Duolingo is the one.
Cool. So it's much cheaper than Rosetta Stone?
It's free. It's absolutely free.
So it's definitely cheaper.
Yeah.
Definitely cheaper. Rosetta Stone, you have to mortgage your children.
Oh god. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I always hear the commercial on Sirius. It's like, you can learn a new language. We want to help you learn new. We want to help a million people this year learn a new language.
I tried it once and then didn't keep up with it and then felt very guilty because I spent the money. So,
well, I mean, you know, yeah. Duolingo, it's D-U-O, Duolingo. And you download it onto your phone. It probably comes on Android as well. And it does the job, man. It's a great little app to start learning another language.
Nice. Very cool.
Cool.
Awesome.
Any apps that come across your mind recently, Eric, or anything that came by your path?
There's one that I found really, really useful called HearMatch, which, you know, I don't know if you go – I do business development and sales, so I go to a lot of meetups, constantly going to meetups, constantly meeting people. And so what HearMatch does is you go to the event and then you check in and you put in a whole bunch of profile stuff of like, I do this, like I'm a web developer and I'm looking to meet somebody in the advertising industry, that kind of thing. And then you put it on there and then people can like at the meetup can just scroll through and see like who's here, what do they do, who do they want to know? And it'll specifically match people and give you recommendations. And I went to one of their meetups and I met with like two people by using the app. So it's pretty cool.
Cool. That sounds good, man.
Yeah.
So check that out.
So, right. Okay.
So I guess that's it then.
It's been really fun.
Yeah, it's been a fun night. Gentlemen, as always, you have the floor to plug whatever you'd like to plug.
What am I plugging? Today, I'm just going to say that like I am still waiting for my licensing deal with Virgin Media, but we have done a trial of the remote I was telling you guys about last time.
Right.
It's the children's remote, and the results have come back, and they are amazing.
Oh, good.
We're averaging 90 minutes a day for the users of the app. Mm-hmm. The kids have taken to it, and they've used it to replace their TV remotes.
Oh, wow.
So everybody keep your fingers crossed and, you know, keep hoping for me because I'm really trying hard to get this thing to market within the next few months.
That's awesome.
That sounds great. Sounds great. Well, I'm heading to South by Southwest Eco on Sunday,
okay.
Which is their green technology conference. And I'm looking to launch the gardening smart gardens business in the next, I don't know, hopefully the next 90 days or so. And I'm going to go see what the lay of the land is there. And if anybody listening is interested in that particular subject, I would love for them to get in touch with me.
Awesome. Can't wait to see what develops.
Definitely.
I guess as far as you were done plugging, right?
Indeed, I was. Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So as always, if you'd like to email us, you can do so at, I guess we still don't have an email set up, so you can email us at, the Adventure Club email. It's two dudes, either the word two or the number two dudes at adventureclubpodcast.com. Since, spoiler alert, we don't really get emails there anyway. So if you'd like to email, just include that you were listening to Techies and you'd like to talk to us about something tech-related. Or if you want to come on, you know, if you're interested in coming on and listen, you know, and talking about tech with us, you're more than welcome. Just email that same email address. You could find me on the Twitter. I am at John J. Galbo. You could also go to the ACPN at the_ACPN.com. Not .com. The ACPN. The_ACPN. And the website is theacpn.com. So this was a good show. I hope we can do another one soon, and we will be back soon, sooner than later, with a new episode. Until then, good night.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the
ACPN.